We will call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022, to order at 8:45 on the clock. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I'll bet.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Jurgens, Haxby, Schuler, Tiedemann, Dorn, Swavely, and Lytle. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda, approve minutes of the meeting held October 19th, 2022. Approve all claims through November 2nd, 2022 in the amount of $660,931.29. Accept claim number 22110082 to Hard Rock Quarries, LLC, in the amount of $217.05, and claim number 22110086 to RL Tiedemann Construction, Inc., in the amount of $16,331.70 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve District Court Summary Fee Report and Register of Deeds Fee Reports for the month of October 2022. Approve 2021-2022 Fiscal Year NBCS Report. Approve changing the December 14th Board of Supervisors meeting to December 13th, 2022. Is there anything that anyone would like pulled off of the consent agenda? Otherwise, I would ask for a motion to approve it as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, seconded by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 22110082 to Hard Rock Quarries, LLC, in the amount of $217.05, and claim number 22110086 to RL Tiedemann Construction, Inc., in the amount of $16,331.70. This brings the total amount of claims paid through November 2nd, 2022, to $677,480.04. These are each companies I'm associated with.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Lytle. Any discussion? Seeing none, please vote. 6 in favor with Tiedemann abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public or requests for future agenda items. Welcome, everyone. Seeing no comments, we'll move on to committee reports. Building and ground, winter lights, Mr. Swavely.
David, you want to come up and get us updated on what's going on?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Masonry work continues on the north side. They should be washing the area at the treasurer's office area on the east side today and tomorrow, get that cleaned up, and then they will start repointing that area. They have been working on some existing patches that were on the west side right around the corner here that the colors had changed, and so they're reinstalling them, making them look better, and doing more of a square patch. In the past, they just kind of put it in whatever needed to be put in, and now they're using more straight line patches. It just seems to blend in with the wall a lot better. John Van Lanningham will be here on this coming Monday to start checking out all the lights on the courthouse building for the winter lights, which is coming up on the 20th of November. And Masonry Construction, I talked to them. They will reinstall the lights on the north side, make sure they're all ready to go. I just asked to make sure that they were all up by the 14th of November, so we have a week leeway in there, make sure everything's good to go. Veterans Day, the flags will go up. I talked to Scott Bates. He said American Legion Avenue of Flags. The flags will go up on next Friday, Veterans Day, at 7 o'clock in the morning, and they will be taken down Sunday the 13th at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And they're always looking for more volunteers to help out with the flags. It was a good turnout last year. Lammo Plumbing, I've been trying to bug them as far as extension office restrooms. We're scheduling that restroom remodel to happen right after Election Day, so I'm going to try and pinpoint a time down where LAML can start on that. And last is replacing and installing new LED lights around the detention center. The old ones were the metal halide bulbs, and now they will be replaced with the new wall pack LEDs, and that came in at $3,077. So that's what I had.
Boiler, ramp, everything bueno?
It works, but it just doesn't work well. I did try to, you know, make something happen this year.
It's a lot of stuff at the counties like that.
Yeah. So hopefully, I know it worked. It was when it was extremely cold, it could not keep up, and which was bad. It actually causes it to melt and freeze. And so it worked okay. As long as I caught it early, I'd put a bunch of ice melt on it, and then I just would have to watch it more. It still does work, but it just doesn't work like it should.
It'll be something to just kind of keep on your mind for future reference.
Yeah, we're going to look at that. That's going to create a problem because we'll have to tear up that to put new pipes or however we're going to fix it, okay, whether it's going to be with fluid or they can do it with electric too, but they can put the pipes in instead of running the antifreeze through it, the warm antifreeze through it. They can put a electric wires through a conduit and do it, and it'll just do the same thing. It'll generate heat and do the same thing, okay, and then you don't have to worry about leaks. But
and this bid, when we do that work, would include a larger door to come into the building also. And we've discussed before about the wall, whether we could make it a little wider or not. It works the way it is, but you know, there are times where that is the main entrance, and I don't think it was designed for that years ago to handle a lot of everybody coming in. And they do use that when there's a jury trial where they're screening people more, or with just the weather when it's bad, we close the stairs down too.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Dave.
You.
Thanks, David.
Equalization, we had a quick correction to tax asking for the city for the Beatrice Public Schools. Just a typo there, made a minor correction this morning. Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Yes, sir. Large ticket items. Boy Scout Troop 221, maintenance of 11 Pioneer Cemeteries, $11,000. Election systems, sophomore ballots, coding, media for election, $11,219.60. Gage County transfer to Economic Development Fund, $123,890.27. Land Tech survey, surveyors operating expense, $11,051.39. Washington County Sheriff's Department Board of Inmates, $13,500. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $40,697.08. Cather and Sons, Asphalt, $10,454.23. RL Team and Incorporated, Township Gravel and Hauling, $16,331.70. Rock On Incorporated, Hauling Gravel, Township Material, $11,979.52.
We also received from NERMA, our risk pool manager, a dividend check for $8,387 from last year. A lot of this comes down through good risk management and pre-mitigation. Along with that, our own Don Hill won Contact Person of the Year. Congratulations out of all the members across the state. Congratulations, Don. One of the great things with that is as the insurance pool talks to everyone, that communication back and forth, the watching things, the trying to take care of issues before they come up, all those things have helped our insurance rates when the rest of the state has gone up. I believe we dropped by 14.4% this year. So that is unheard of in itself. But then that along with Don's hard work there, like I say, that saves the county a lot of money, and we do appreciate it. So thank you very much, Don.
It took quite a bit of convincing on the old board years ago to join NERMA. There were some people on the board at the time didn't want to, but there was some of us it did because it was, we thought it was going to be workable for everybody, and it has done a great job for Gage County. They've done well with it, okay, so.
NIRMA's done a good job. I've been fortunate. I'm NIRMA's treasurer now, so we have representation at the NIRMA board level. A lot of good training at the NIRMA events. Mr. Doran, Ms. Hill, and myself were out there, and the sheriff. Sheriff's gone again today.
Medical.
But yeah, really good programs. If you guys ever have a chance to, NACO does a good job. I think NIRMA does a better job on speakers and presentations, so try to make it out there if you can. Human resources, employee relations. There was some discussion Monday about some potential revamping or streamlining it. The highway department, we'll visit about that at some point in time in the future. Moving forward, we'll try to get Mr. Juergens and Mr. Conkey and some board members together and just kind of look at what we can do to be a little more efficient, a little more cost efficient as well as work efficient. I think there were some good ideas bounced out there. Law enforcement, emergency management.
Anybody?
Mr. Lytle?
Yeah, neither one of them contacted me with anything new, so we should be good.
All right.
Lisa, I saw her. She had to run out to BSDC. They had a fire out there.
Oh.
So right before the meeting started, she thought she'd be back, but.
Been an active morning. They had an accident right out here this morning, too.
I could see those lights from 19th Street when I come up.
Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens.
finally, the final plan for the bus River Bridge is done and moving forward. I don't know where it's moving, but it's moving forward. 9 out of 24 spring allocations for the townships are done. Monday, the big thing to me was Monday we had a group of people from Adams come in. Senator Dorn, Steve Robertson, and Mr. Boer, the fire chief, on discussion about the Adams Spur, we called it, between 41 and Main Street of Adams. It's high maintenance road, heavy truck traffic coming from the south going to the ethanol plant. I remember discussing this all the way back when Myron was on the board about improvement to that road, what we could do. Well, it's got to a point where I think safety concerns and everything else with the heavy traffic has to be addressed. So Mark Kunkey did a lot of work, talked with Mark Minnelli on it and get some preliminary estimates just to look at. And, it's going to be a little ways, but I think the whole board, as a consensus, believes that something should be done here. Looking at, I think, five-eighths of a mile, Eddie? Is that what it is?
A little over half.
The estimates that were brought forward at this meeting, very preliminary. 9-inch concrete doweled, approximately $700,000. Intersection work, $100,000 to $125,000. So, preliminary stage here, but I think that there is, we'll try and figure something out in the hopefully next budget year and see what we can get done. Eddie?
I think Mark might have a traffic count.
Oh, do you, Mark? Oh, and also I noticed throughout the county, the state, and Mark, you go ahead and address that, the state with their traffic counters.
Yes. So the state emailed me beginning about mid-October, and they had placed roughly 64 traffic counters out across Gage County. They're just a single hose. They did pick those up about a week later. I don't know the time frame of when they'll get those put on their website that we can take a look at it. But it ranged from northeast Gage County to southwest and vice versa. It was all over the place. So we'll get some traffic numbers on there. We did catch one of the hoses once. We were fortunate enough to have a repair guy in the area. He fixed it. The state contacted me, said, thanks, nobody caught our hoses. I told them we did, but we had it spliced, and they appreciated us just getting out there and getting it fixed ASAP. So it's pretty much the same stuff that we use, so it was an easy fix. But off those traffic counters for the Adams Spur, I was kind of surprised of what they were. The south intersection of the Adams Spur, so it would be 148th and Main. I put the traffic counters out last Monday.
Mark, sorry to interrupt you. When you say the Adams Spur, you're talking about the West Road.
The West Road on 148th between Main Street and Highway 41.
Thank you.
So we would have put it just off the intersection of 148th and Main, north of there, on the gravel section. We started around 10 o'clock and when we had them placed. They picked them up last Monday, October 31st, about 7 a.m. But at that traffic count location, we are averaging 454 vehicles for the average daily traffic. Out of that, we are averaging 57 of them are trucks. So there's a lot more regular vehicles crossing or taking that stretch than just trucks.
I think that isn't that over that point of there's a number that you reach that it's more effective to pay for that concrete
that,
than
that
it is
500
to keep maintaining
average
it.
Daily traffic is kind of where you're kind of sitting at. You know, the 350 or greater, you can really start looking into it. But once you start pushing that 500, I mean, those traffic counts are pretty comparable to what it's on Hickory.
I would have never guessed there's that much traffic. I knew so, there was. Mr. Swaby.
Could that be skewed a little bit because there, of the construction on 40?
There could be,
there?
You know, as of Monday, we, you know, with us only getting them out there at 10 o'clock, you know, looking at the times and the volume that was on there, you know, there was only 239 vehicles last Monday, the 24th. Then it jumped up to Tuesday from midnight to midnight. We're at 424 vehicles for volume. Wednesday, 465. So, I mean, we're staying pretty consistent. Thursday, when my sign tech was out over in that area, he said that those numbers might be skewed. Thursday was a skewed number. We were at 805 vehicles for that day, just at the intersection of Main Street and 148th.
Mr. Schuler.
Harvest is still last week, and when that was taken, there would have been some harvesting going on.
There would have been, but, I mean, as for truck traffic, you know, we're only looking at 50... Average daily traffic of 57 trucks going up and down that road.
Thursday they were paving, or?
Thursday is where they had Main Street of Adams going north. They had some road work there, and then they are also doing some shouldering work
so
on 41.
You're taking out that outlier, and you're still in the 400s.
Yeah, on an average day you're running 400, and then on the skewed day you're 800.
Yeah. So at the next traffic counter, which would be just off of Highway 41 and South 48th, numbers were pretty comparable. It actually, that section jumped to an average daily traffic of 540 vehicles. But I'm going to account a lot of those were the ones that were coming off Highway 41 going into BABs, loading up a bunch of millings, and then heading back north for filling.
Okay. That makes sense.
Because that truck traffic changed to 127 vehicles per day.
Isn't Dollar General on that?
That Dollar General is just right off that intersection to the
east. So
that
would increase traffic from what it was prior to Dollar General.
One of the gentlemen that were here on Monday, he did state, you know,
it's a little bit further.
Between 3 and 5 o'clock, we're pretty busy. most of those days around 3 o'clock, we're sitting, you know, 64, 115, 112. That was a Tuesday, 47. So there is a lot of traffic going across there around school time.
Would the school bus count as a truck?
No, because the axles would be, it'd count as probably a vehicle.
Okay.
Because you wouldn't have that separation in your axles.
So for trucks, it only counts?
Semi-trucks.
With the tag axle?
Yes.
So a straight truck, single axle, it wouldn't count?
It'd count as a vehicle,
yeah.
But it wouldn't count as a truck traffic,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, one thing to remember also, and it could possibly more than that, the ethanol plant consumes 100 semi-loads of corn a day. And that's daily, every day. So I'm not saying that much is coming through that area, but eventually when people, first part of the year when they need corn and corn will be delivered, you'll see heavier traffic because the DDGs come out too, not necessarily going that road, but they're not as many trucks come out, but say 100 trucks a day and 50 going out, you know, or 150 going out if you include the empties coming back. So anyway, it's high traffic, and hopefully it all stays there.
Well, and we'll be talking about economic development here later, but along with that, the village board chairman was here on Monday, and that has come off of TIF. There's always the talk, well, TIF, you don't get the tax dollars out. Wrong. You're getting those tax dollars. You just don't get them today. So those TIF dollars from E-Energy Adams paved 134th, I believe the road is, from Highway 41 out to the ethanol plant. Now that those dollars are going back into Adams, they're not sure how much they're going to get. But those dollars will be spent on infrastructure downtown. They'll be being spent on potentially this road project for the village's portion. They'll be going to Adams Public Schools. These TIF projects, they are a delayed gratification. We're not getting the bang for the buck today. But over the long term, they are really good for the community. And although this is more truck traffic, it's also higher prices on our grain, closer place to sell our grain, another value-added ag project. So, I mean, you can see how this trickles down through so many different levels, from the farmer to the school to the community. It's just a constant give back, and I mean that recirculates in our own community. So although there's little bits of work that goes along with it, they're well worth it.
I think they've already opened up free storage
up there.
E-Energy.
Oh really?
Probably.
Is it worth hauling there instead of to a bin?
That's a good price.
One other comment. Myron called me about this probably 4 or 5 weeks ago. He said, is it the coffee shop? And all the farmers were in there this day after a shower, and they're all complaining about this road. Well, Myron told him, come to this board meeting and talk to the board. He said, I hope I got a big group coming. Well, three people showed up.
Yeah. And one was Myron.
Yeah. Par for the course. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I do want to comment that I'm in favor of this. I mean, it's something that is needed. But I want to remind everyone that I would, of course, have been interested in the Virginia Road, which is 3 miles, but a half mile or 2,000 feet of asphalt or hard surface near Virginia would accomplish the same thing. Obviously, there isn't as much traffic, but there is the same safety issues, dust and the intersections there and the highway, a lot of truck traffic during harvest, and it's really affects the quality of life and the people in Virginia, the dust there, because it adjoins the village. There's homes, driveways that come right off of 162 right onto the county blacktop. So even a half a mile or 2,000 feet, I don't even want to say a half a mile, 2,000 feet of asphalt would be, in my opinion, a good investment for the county at Virginia.
Thank you, Mr. Shuler. Ms. Axby?
Just for economics, that traffic count, that's why I asked that question, because I knew it had to be like that 400 to 500 range to make it economical for us to do it. Because at that point, then we're utilizing too much gravel or patrol time or whatever to upkeep that road on that amount of traffic. And that's why this makes sense to figure it out. But with the other one, I think wasn't that traffic count low hundreds, 120 might be nice.
180, I think, would have been the max.
But the average was the low, like 120.
And I'll remind you that traffic count was taken after school was out and after harvest was over.
The other thing is with the Adams, what we also found out with the state statute was that Adams is annexed in, so part of that road is their road for their responsibility. Looking at some of the other villages, that does pertain to Virginia. Virginia is annexed right to the edge of the road, so per state statute, Virginia would be liable for the cost of that section of road.
So their state goes statute to the center of the road?
They would go to the whole road from wherever they're annexed up to the highway.
Okay. So with Adams, it's a cost-share deal. It's not all us. We would
but
pay
for Adams, all of their road that's annexed, they would also pay for.
Right. Yes, Adams is paying for their portion of that road. We would pay for the county portion of that road.
And it's pretty close to half.
It's about half, yeah.
Give or take, yeah. We're talking 500 to 800 feet difference or something along those lines.
So Virginia could, if that's the road that they want to see done, that is their road, they could look into the cost of that too.
The average daily traffic on the Virginia road at Highway 4 and 162nd is 189 average daily traffic.
Mr. Schuler, do you ever sit in on any of the Virginia board meetings or talk
I've
to
been
any
to a
of their
couple,
village
but
board? Something you may visit with them about then, if they would want to do something right next to Virginia there, if they ever are interested in this, not pushing this, but as we have a road bid that comes out through the county, we get a better
sure
price than what they would. I don't think any of the board would have any trouble if they would piggyback on to a county bid, even where they would have the option to get that better price still for the village too, or other village roads within. Sure.
Well, and actually that's what they're looking at. I mean, they aren't looking at a special project to get it done, but to at least keep them in mind when the time comes, if there's a project close to where we're doing overlays, well, maybe it takes more than an overlay, I don't know, but that the opportunity to get some asphalt cheaper and get the project done cheaper, that we take advantage of that.
You might just kind of let them know, because we've gotten really good prices in the past as a county. If they'd be interested in something like that, that might be a good time for them to pave that road. Even if this would go up at Adams, they're looking into their budget right now to see what they can swing. Or when they could swing something, that would be close enough where it would still be, I would think it'd still be a decent price.
And if that's a half mile stretch, it'd probably be $500,000-$600,000.
I think the estimate rough number was around $850,000-$860,000.
Well, for the whole thing.
That was for that had the
T intersection.
You're
saying Virginia?
Yeah,
that'd be less.
Virginia would be pretty.
Say
$600,000. And I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news, but it would just be difficult to pave a 2,000-foot-long road to go back to gravel, then back to a hard surface. It just, if we're going to do it, we might as well do it all. That's just my opinion.
As long as we didn't start doing that all over in the county, because we've got a lot of asphalt that goes to gravel, that goes to asphalt.
It's much trouble as what this road has, and is as much voice as of what the people has complained about this road. If we only do 2,000 feet, it's going to benefit the people of Virginia, but what about the remainder of the county?
I guess I was more saying if the village would want to do that.
Correct.
Since
and
it's
that's,
their
they
road
could piggyback off that. But if we're really going to look into this road, let's look in for the big thing.
Speaking of which, looking at roads, Hickory Road West, where are we at on that?
I've talked to Manili Wagner about that. They're starting. I will probably put traffic counters out there here this next week to get numbers on that. And I've gave Manili Wagner a heads up on it that we would be looking into that. So and that's kind of where it's at.
Is the thought to get that on the 1 and 5 this next year? 1 and 6, I'm sorry.
It's on the 1 and 6.
It's on there now?
It's on there, yeah.
Right-of-way is moving forward on those at all?
We haven't.
Can't.
I didn't remember if it was on the 1 and 6 or not.
Well, we can't work on right-of-ways if we're yet until we decide whether we're going to go federal or our own funding.
That's right.
Because if we go federal funding, we have to do the right-of-ways the way they want it done. So there can't be any pre-discussion on that until we decide what we're going to do.
Thank you, Ms. Axby. I forgot about that.
Mark, does Adams maintain their portion of the road now?
No,
the county does it for them.
The same as Virginia. We take care of that stretch.
One thing we could do is, I think that's a 4-mile stretch, and I think 3 of those 4 miles are township right now. That's something that we could probably adjust and get that to county, because they're a high traveled road anyway. That probably should be something that we're overseeing anyway. But that's one thing we could do, and already get that figured out with that township.
So, I'm sorry, you switched back to Hickory Road. Those are township roads over there.
Yeah, Hickory is
3. I'm right. I would switched back to Virginia Road.
I was thinking 3. Yeah, those are 3. One thing we could do is, because we can't do right of ways, would be get those townships roads switched over to county.
That probably wouldn't be hard.
I am sure they'd be happy.
Well, there was 3 miles
in Sherman that wants to change too.
They want to swap.
They want to swap. So, they're looking at the Sherman Township. There is a small half-mile stretch that I think they could take over that runs to a cemetery. So the 3 miles that are 2¾ mile, whatever it is in the Sherman, we could have them take that. We could take over the other 2¼ miles, whatever, and then adjust on gravel allotments from there. But talking to the Sherman Township, most of their gravel allotment is going on that 3-mile stretch, just because it is a high traffic road.
Mark, I'm just thinking about my area. There's many county roads. There's many county roads there that used to go to a school, to a church. They're not there anymore. There's a lot of areas that should be looked at throughout the county, probably, where miles should be swapped with townships, because the traffic on those county roads that have been there for 80 years probably, the traffic's not there anymore, simply because the church is gone, the school's gone, all those things, cemetery, abandoned, whatever. The traffic counts aren't there on those roads. So I'm sure there's other areas. We should overall get the overall picture and look at it and see where the higher traffic roads are now, and see if we can talk to townships and get them, if they want to switch, because these two sections I'm thinking about are in the middle of nowhere.
Anyway, that actually is a really good idea.
Have a whole supervisor look in the area and see down the road, it should be done.
But the section in Sherman, and I'm sorry, Mr. Lytle.
You're fine, go ahead.
The section in Sherman, we patrol and take care of up to just south of Highway 4, and then we stop deadhead 3 miles and then take over again and continue south down to Plum. So it's kind of... We're deadheading 3 miles already. Why not take care of it?
Mr. Lytle?
District 5's fine. We're good.
we made a change in my district a few years ago just because there's no longer the usage like there had been before, and we ran that county road traffic back and forth off the highway, which makes sense. You want to talk about gravel at all? We haven't talked about rock or gravel.
Really. I think we're sitting pretty decent for rock and gravel.
9 of 24 for spring, 57 to 96 total. How many do you anticipate having done this year yet?
I was only anticipating getting 12 to 15 townships done of spring of 22. I foresee another good month of weather, so hopefully the pits don't freeze up on me. In 2 weeks we popped out 5 townships. So in another month's time, if we could pop out 8 to 10 townships, we're well over half of spring. Pits closed down. We reopen hopefully in March. We have March April, May, June. So we have 4 months to finish out the remainder of spring allotments and then start of fall. I see it can happen by the end of, by June 30th. Fingers caught crossed, up. Caught up. With that being stated, I am hopefully after spring we could possibly discontinue the Columbus run is kind of what I've been thinking in my head, that where the one subcontractor would be able to fulfill the remainder for the year of 22. I guess opinions on that?
We'll discuss that when it gets here.
And that could be something we look at towards the year when we come there. But that is just something that's going on in my head, depending on how much we can carry on this year. I mean, it just depends on weather when the pits freeze up. We could get lucky and keep hauling until December 24th, as far as I'm concerned.
All depends on the weather.
This is Nebraska.
Yeah.
What have you been in contact with the local suppliers? What is...
There is not much weight at the pits over by Fairbury. And then talking to NEBCO, they are looking at opening the Boyden pit. They are getting new equipment over there. They hit a new vein, and they're thinking in the next year and a half, having that one up and running with road gravel.
Does Boyden not have road gravel now?
Does not have road gravel now.
Years ago, there used to be three of them over there, Meyer, Boyden, and Alex, and all three of them produced. I didn't realize Boyden wasn't. Meyer kind of dried up. It's just fill sand now. I did not realize Boyden was. So they're only making 47B sand and fill sand.
I am supposed to meet with the manager of that pit here in the next couple of weeks when NEBCO does a flyover with their drone at the site's quarry.
Any questions for Mark? Anything else for Roden Bridge?
What's the timeline outlook for that bus bridge? We got the engineering.
I talked to Minnelli Wagner, Mark, on that one. He was going to get back with Mr. Goebbels with Thiessen Construction to kind of give a little better breakdown on some pricing. There was some questionable pricing on there. We just wanted a little tighter numbers on some of that or a little more explanation. But he was going to tell them that we approved everything and get them set in the schedule. But as of, that was just on Tuesday morning when I talked.
Like
I don't have a set schedule
or...
yet, no.
Okay.
But as soon as I do, I will let everyone know.
I got a call on the way in, so just asking.
And that tonnage rating will go, we anticipate, to...
27 ton, pending what the deck is, if it is a composite or non-composite deck. If it is a composite deck, it will jump up quite a bit. If not, it will stay in the mid-20 range for loaded rating.
Thank you, Mark. Moving on from committee meetings, unless there's anything else. We will welcome Carly Black, the Extension Engagement Zone Coordinator, to discuss the new strategic direction of Nebraska Extension.
Yeah, super exciting. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hopefully this is a nice change of pace from the previous topics.
Thank you.
So, like I shared with Don, should be nice and quick for me talking today that I'm not sure if you're aware that at the beginning of the year, we and Nebraska Extension got a new dean and director. New dean comes, new vision, excitement there. And so one of the things that Dr. Charlie has been looking at is just what is the direction? How do we tell our story of where Nebraska Extension is going? What our impact is within the communities? And so they had put together a group that really looked at the next 5 years and where Nebraska Extension wants to go. And so the first thing they did was they started with examining what people are talking about. So if you actually look at the back of the card, there's kind of these like little check boxes. There's five statements there. And those five statements are things that they said Nebraskans are talking about. So these are things that are important to Nebraskans, whether it's in the news, whether it's in research publications, whether it's just in conversation. So they started there, and then they said, okay, well, how can we make sure that we remain relevant and we are addressing these issues of Nebraskans. And so what they decided to do is just revision where and how we talk about things. So right now, Nebraska Extension has our 8 programming areas of focus, and each educator has an area that they focus on. So there's not the generalist that does everything, but there are focused areas. And then they have gone and even shortened that down now, and they talk about the big 3. So if you open it up to the inside of the card, this is the big 3. And so all 8 programming areas align with one or more areas of the big 3. So you'll see the first one right there is agriculture and food systems, right? So when you think of Nebraska Extension, usually you think of agriculture and 4-H. So, of course, agriculture is going to be one of our main drivers still. Another thing is this food system. So Nebraska Extension focuses on this regional foods initiative. So you have Tara Dunker here in the Extension office. She does a phenomenal job working on regional foods, addressing food deserts, working with food banks. And so that's where that regional foods piece fits in, and that's where we still want to continue to align our work. Our second one is talking about inspiring Nebraskans and their communities. So this is working to make sure that every youth, family, community is thriving. So this is where 4-H aligns within there. We have some of our Rural Prosperity Nebraska educators that do a lot of community development and work with communities that don't always have maybe an economic development group that's very active like you guys have here in Gage County. And so it's just working on making sure that there is opportunity to thrive within Nebraska and their communities. And then our third one is health and wellness. And you might say, well, that's a strange thing for Nebraska Extension to be in, right? Think about it again. We still have kind of been in this area with our food, nutrition, and health educators. So again, Tara Dunker here in Gage County does do some focus on that. And before that was Kayla Colgrove. I'm not sure if you remember her, but she did a whole lot more on food and fitness because that was one of her passion areas. But if you look in kind of the fine print, health and wellness doesn't always just mean physical health. It could be mental health that starting really in 2019 after the floods, and there was a lot of need to address this rural mental health that Extension has partnered with providers across the state and helping with this rural response network. So we are leaning into this mental health space and then also financial health. And so we have our ag econ, or now they're termed ag profitability. And so we have a lot of area there, but it also leads the door open for all sorts of areas where maybe financial we can kind of lean into other than where we currently serve in those areas. So again, I just wanted to give you all just a quick update on where we're going with Nebraska Extension. This will kind of lean into what the Extension office does here locally, but just know it's not radically changing the way we do business. It's just focusing how we talk about how we do business. Do you guys have any questions for me? Okay. All right. Hearing none, thank you all.
Very good.
Thanks,
report.
Carly.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for coming too, Nicole.
Yeah. Here, she was the one that made sure that you guys did a lot of road and bridge talk. She goes, short agenda. We're going to nail it.
That's on me. We've all said that before, too. It's like, oh, it's a short one today. Thank you both. We'll move on to Rachel Krackemeyer, Executive Director of Engage, to present the quarterly report. Good morning.
Okay, does everybody have a copy of my report? Hopefully.
I'm sure.
Great. So in part of this quarterly report, too, there is a small snippet of time, just about a month, that I'm reporting on that I was not actually in this role. But I have been extremely busy over the last quarter. We have done Manufacturing Day, which is an effort to support our local manufacturers, kind of drum up interest and awareness for them and what they do. So we had over 100 students attend Manufacturing Day, and they toured actually 4 different of our manufacturing plants to get an idea of what they do, what type of positions that they have available, training opportunities for area high school students, and counselors and other administrators also attended that day as well. It was super, super successful. We added a component with SCC in the mix, kind of highlighting that education piece behind it too with our local educators right here, hoping to kind of keep more of those students in the area and showing them that they have access to good, high-paying jobs right here in this county. In addition to that, I've been working with not only SCC, but also our employers and Beatrice Public Schools to talk about career development and how we can keep more of our youth here and working and living and raising families here in this county or in Beatrice. So we're talking about creative ways to also meet employers' needs to develop those talent pipelines with maybe expansion on internship opportunities, school to work, kind of tying in the piece where they're gaining credit, but also working in the employer's plants and things like that, too. The other big piece that I've been working on is childcare. As you've heard me talk in the past, it's a huge issue, not only in Gage County, but in the state and across the U.S., the deficit number, so lack of available quality childcare spots in Gage County, is nearly 400. So if you think about that, if 400 kids don't have access to quality childcare, one or more of their parents are not working, or that people are struggling to find quality care, which is stressful when you're trying to work and make money to support and raise a family. So our efforts with the C4K initiative, we are in the process of reviewing applications. So we have not only the C4K dollars, which we call the private dollars, but we have CRISA funding, so the coronavirus response funding. That's our federal funding, that's $78,500. That is geared to go directly to child care providers to help increase capacity or expand capacity. We've had interest from a large number of current providers looking to go from an in-home one to an in-home two license, or from an in-home to a child care center, which is great because that's large-scale capacity expansion, and we have a couple providers that are looking to do just that. What we're finding is we've got a long road ahead of us with reducing that deficit. We're hoping that we can increase capacity spots with this current funding that we have by about 75 to 100 is what our target goal is. And it's looking like there's going to be additional funding coming out in the future through some federal dollars to help combat this issue so we can get more people to work.
Just yes. With that, would you elaborate a little bit for the board? There's the C4K dollars, the CRISA funding, but there's also a group that you've worked with that decides or meets and talks about what qualifies or who can get some additional funds to enhance what they currently have.
Yeah, so with, and this was prior to me as well, they established a core team of a variety of people. We have some school board members. Missy Timmerman with BPS Preschool is on the committee as well. And then some individuals from Blue Valley Community Action. The Engage Board has members represented on it as well to kind of help assess what we're going to do with this funding and how to best increase that capacity. So this core team has been meeting to review the applications from the providers to determine what funding is going to go where to best spend it. And with that, there is the state DHHS, Nebraska Children and Families, has also passed down requirements that these providers must meet, because not only is it an increase of capacity, we want to make sure that these kids have good quality care and they're not just sitting in a room watching a TV and being fed lunch and sent home, that they're being stimulated, brain development, because I've attended conferences where we've had speakers talk about brain development in our children, and the most amount of development in a child's brain happens between 0 and 2. So we really need to focus on providing the best quality of care for our youngest citizens. So that's a big piece of this funding, is making sure that the quality is there. So providers have to participate in various state programs like Step Up to Quality and things like that to make sure that those measures are being met, which for providers that just means attending trainings regularly and meeting certain benchmarks that are set forth by DHHS. With that, in my report on the very last page, this is the bottom line report that was developed through First Five Nebraska, as well as SEND, which is Southeast Nebraska Development District. They are a group that kind of looks at the economic piece. So this bottom line economic impact study is for the entire state, but I am in the process of working with those two organizations to develop this report specific to Gage County so that we can see what the actual economic impact to our county is in regards to the deficit we currently have. In numbers and reports that I've seen, it's looking to be in the $10 to $12 million range annually. So you can see the effect on the working parents and what that means, and absenteeism, turnover, and job loss, staying part-time instead of working full-time because they can't find full-time care, reduction of hours, so going from full-time to part-time, or foregoing a promotion. It kind of breaks down those impacts into dollar amounts based on what's happening in the workplace for these parents. So, more to come on that, but that's what I have. Any questions for me?
I don't know that I got one of those.
It was last meeting.
Is it the last 2 weeks ago?
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Then I've got it at home probably.
Yep.
Have you been in communication with the daycares in Wymore? There is some people that have bought some old houses and remodeled and started. I'm very unfamiliar with it,
sure,
but I'm aware of it.
Yes, we had a gallery walk event where we invited every provider, licensed and unlicensed. We encouraged everyone to come so we could get a really good idea of what's actually happening in the county. You know, we're not trying to get the unlicensed providers in trouble or, you know, on DHHS's radar or anything, but to get an accurate picture, we overturned every rock that we could to get as many providers there. We are working with individuals in all corners of the county to make sure that they know they have access to this funding, and we hope that it would stimulate some unlicensed providers to potentially become licensed, because that's a big issue too, is it's a lot of upfront cost. We have one provider that's getting ready to go to a center, and to make this to make it happen and to meet all of the DHHS regulations and state fire marshal regulations to open, it's going to cost about $90,000. So it's not a cheap startup. So this funding can be used to assist with that. But yes, if by all means, please reach out, let them know. They can contact me directly if they have not been in contact. I would love to hear from them. Because the more providers I'm aware of, whether they're licensed or unlicensed, I can offer supports and help for that. I'm also retooling or adding another page to our website to provide additional sets of resources and information to providers. That gallery walk also highlighted areas where they're feeling struggles and having issues and things like that. So this funding can also go to help provide those supports so that they can stay active and in business.
So are you aware of the daycare in Wymore?
Yes.
So you have been in touch with them?
Yes. Yes.
So then they should be aware of what you're talking. Okay, because I know
should be
what I was told. They're gotten into it, see the need for daycare at Wymore, and are working to expand and improve. And
and
so it fits right in with what you're
absolutely
talking about.
And to your point, just so the rest of the board is fully aware, there's parents of kids that are buying homes as a rental home, and they are hiring a child care provider to then go into that home to watch their own kids. Parents are having to be this creative. They're going around and finding friends like, okay, you're a stay-at-home mom. Would you run a child care or a daycare in this house if I bought it and fixed it up so that it met DHHS regulations and state fire marshal regulations? Would you do that just to watch their own children? that's what's happening.
Cool. And this isn't a one and done. This will be a multi-year program. And then to make it really work, it's going to be, you know, yes, ongoing forever. But Rachel's also going to be working with, if she's not already, hospital, Xmark, you know, employers like that. There's some models for on-site daycare that, I mean, the hospital, of course, if you look at the demographic of employees there, you've got kids. I mean, it's just a, it starts to be an expense that becomes very you know, you can amortize it out because of your base of employees. So 400 needed spots, you're wanting to increase what we have by 100 and a quarter
with
potentially?
With the current funding, 75 to 100 with the current funding that we have. And to your point of this could be a multi-year thing, I actually received the email yesterday that the second source of funding we've been waiting to come out through ARPA dollars was just released yesterday through DHHS. So I'll be working with my board and other stakeholders to pursue that too, to continue to combat that capacity issue.
I've had questions from people, why would an economic development group get involved with child care? I mean, it doesn't take much thinking about it to realize why. What are we all short of? Labor. What do you need for labor? Child care, so that we can get the people out working. So the two go hand in hand. They don't seem like they would initially, but they obviously do.
Any other questions?
I want to ensure the board, too. Rachel has hit the ground running, just like we had hoped. Keep up the good work. We do appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Move to place the Engage quarterly report on file.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle. Seconded by Swavely. Thank you, sir. Any discussion? Please vote. Six in favor. Emily's not behind the chair, is she?
No.
Six in favor. Motion carries. Up next, approve or disapprove resolution number.
Oh.
Leaves
22-21,
authorizing the signing of the year-end certification of the County Highway Superintendent for 2022.
This is to get our incentive
payments. Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. This is more or less a yearly formality. Any discussion on this item? Seeing none, please vote. Six in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove the year-end certification of the Highway Superintendent.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, seconded by Dorn. Thought we'd have a little rougher time getting a motion on this. Any discussion? Please vote. Six in favor. Motion carries. Anything else prior to a closed session we have?
Recess.
Yeah.
With that, we will take a 5-minute recess at 9:43. We will reconvene approximately 9:48.
You're on.
We will reconvene at 9:50 on the clock.
She's communicator of the year. Of course she knows she's ready.
That's right. With that, we'll invite Ms. DeVern up to come speak about the Bus River Bridge. Or I guess, I assume that's what you wanted to visit about.
Yeah, he answered most of my questions already, I guess. Well,
would you give us your name and address for the record, please?
My name is DeVern Pullman, 16677 Southwest 72nd Road, DeWitt. I guess I was just curious as where we're at with this river bridge on West Dogwood Road.
So about a month ago, we finally decided to lay the hammer down, tell our engineer, let's get moving. So Mark contacted them, Mr. Kunke, and said, let's get moving on this. It just kind of laid idle. It's one of those things that for some reason it fell through the cracks. We visited about it weekly, but for some reason nothing was moving. Little oddity, we're not tearing it down. It'll be a repair job, but it should be a repair better than original. Hopefully by the end of the year still, Mark. Is that a realistic assumption?
I hope by Monday I'd have some information on the schedule, the breakdown a little bit better. So,
yeah, well, that'd be super good. I mean, it's been over a year already, and I've never seen a plan or anything until today. Mark showed me.
We had preliminary plans about a month ago, but there again, them wanting us to haul in all that fill, we had to reevaluate it and look at some different things. So.
Mm-hmm. But with some additional false work, they'll be able to bridge mount the crane, work from the deck, make things happen. There's not a good excuse why it took so long. It shouldn't have. This should have been a six-month fix.
Yeah.
We're going to be over a year. We missed harvest this year. Unless something completely unforeseen happens, it should be ready by springtime.
Well, let's hope. Keep after it.
I think everybody's on it. The things are falling into place now. It's just I don't have a good excuse why it took so long. It was one of those things that never should have. It just got pushed back.
Kept coming up with different ideas of trying to fix it.
There were some great ideas that would have been very inexpensive and very quick, depending on water level, depending on coffer dams. I mean, there were all kinds of ideas bounced around, but the goal was always to save it and repair it, not to replace it.
Well, the river's been down, you know, all summer, so was an opportunity to do it, but it's still low if they hurry up. So.
Well, with this, the way this is set up, there isn't much underneath work that we have to do. So,
okay. Well, thank you. Keep after it.
Thank you, Mr. Pullman.
Univer.
Mr. Lytle, you had something else for Roden Bridge, for closed session or open session?
Closed.
Yeah.
For closed. Is there anything else for open session? Is it?
I really don't want to talk about anything without Juergens here.
Oh.
Okay,
so nothing for that then right now?
No.
Okay, then I would ask for a motion to go into closed session.
So moved.
At 9:54 on the clock necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, second by Dorn. And that'd be at 9:54. This is for
if we're not
communication and potential litigation, I suppose.
If we're not going to do Roden Bridge, I think we're done.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Please vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, guys.
Because if I get...
We'll come out of closed session at 10:27. Well, anything else for the good of the order? 10:30 meetings. Remember years ago before the Beatrice 6 when we would be out of here by 10:30 and then it turned into 2:30?
You're lucky. You had been on the board a long time ago, okay?
Yeah.
Spend the whole day here.
We don't have time for that now. We have electric bikes with flat tires.
Yeah.
All right. If there's nothing else, we will adjourn today's board meeting at 10:27.